Hello, I'm Ronnie Floyd, Senior Pastor of Cross Church. Thank you for tuning in today. Cross Church is a faith family that is passionate about sharing the love of Christ with the people of Northwest Arkansas, Southwest Missouri, America, and even the world. I thank you again for tuning in today. And please know that the entire Cross Church congregation and I invite you to join us in person at one of our 5 regional campuses. Come and be a part of our friendly, compassionate faith family. Go to crosschurch.com to learn more information about our fellowship of believers. We began a new series called Checking the Gauges of Your Life. Last week, we asked this question, on purpose or by accident? Were you created on purpose, for purpose, and under purpose, or by accident? Well, we believe, obviously, God has created you for purpose and unto His purpose for your life. But today, the question is this, intentional or careless? When you look at your spiritual life, how intentional are you? How careless are you? Which one? The text this morning is 1 Timothy chapter number 4. I want you to get a copy of God's Word today. I want you to look at it with me in the Scripture. I want to begin reading in verse number 6. The Bible says, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ. I want you to note that phrase, a good servant of Christ Jesus. Nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed, but have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. For the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially to those who believe. I want you to think about this statement today. When we become so familiar with the things of God and begin to live without great intentionality in our spiritual life, we enter into dangerous territory. In other words, we take the things of God at times for granted, or we become careless in them because many of us are familiar with them, that the moment that we become so familiar that we do not activate on our faith, live out our faith, take actions about our faith, then all of us, sooner or later, we're going to enter into some dangerous territory in life. I was reminded earlier today, God is holy, and there is no one like Him. I want you to imagine with me today the dashboard of your life that we began to talk about last week together. All these gauges, just like you see on a vehicle, those gauges, just with a different name and a different value, happen in your life. But the gauge I want us to focus in on today is the gauge of your spiritual life. And if I were to ask you, how intentional or how careless are you about your spiritual life, where would you line up? Are you taking intentional actions about your faith? Really getting after it and living out your faith? Are you somewhat careless A lot of things you know you should do, you don't do, whatever they may be, whatever value you might place on them. We need to understand very clearly today that our gauge in our spiritual life is just like a gauge on a vehicle. A vehicle will have a fuel gauge. And what you don't want to find yourself on is in a place when that fuel gauge, if it does so, it alerts you again and again and again. You need to get fuel, and yet there is no place to get it. It blinks, it blinks. It says everything, but hey, dingo, I've told you again and again, pull over, get some fuel. In our spiritual life, we have lights flashing again and again and again that are telling us that we're not living out our faith with great intentionality. And if we're not careful, we will ignore the caution. We will ignore the things going on right now that should not be going on in our lives, all because we're not living our life with great intentionality. So I ask you again, how intentional are you? Or do you find yourself being careless? In fact, do you look at that gauge today? Are you extremely intentional and you're a 10? Are you a full level? Are you somewhat careless? Just kind of float through. Or you say, oh, no, I'm kind of into both. I'm into both. I'm average. Average. Why do we glorify being average? Especially in our walk with Christ. We should want to be highly intentional in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 4 speaks to this issue. Paul was writing to his young protege by the name of Timothy. And Paul was telling Timothy, now Timothy, I want you to challenge the people to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And he was really telling Timothy as well, I want you to be a good servant of Jesus Christ. And he had just stated in verse number 5 that we are sanctified by the word of God in prayer, meaning God sets our lives apart. God sets every part of our life by our commitment to God's word and our prayer life. Think about that. If the Bible and prayer was important to God, and the Bible and prayer was so important to God to communicate to Timothy, and if the Bible and prayer were so important to God to tell Timothy, would you go and tell everybody else about it being important? Let me ask you, do you think you ought to make it important in your life? Well, of course. Well, that will take intentionality. And so the whole instruction here is to how to live this out. That's why in verse number 6, he begins with the word to be nourished, meaning continually growing, being sanctified by the word of God, just like we talked about in verse number 5. And then, of course, the initial mark is noted in verse number 5 as well, as I said. But we need to understand that regardless of what we face in life, we need to understand carefully God wants us to practice our faith. He wants us to live out our faith, whether we're going through a good time, a challenging time, a bad time. God wants us to do that. So what he does is he tells them several things in verse 7 through verse 10. What I want to do is simply lift up a couple of those actions that I really believe that he is saying to us here today in order for us to live with greater intentionality in our spiritual life. For example, the first action has to do with the word avoid. Avoid. Notice it. It says avoid living carelessly and falling into myths. The word there is to refuse. It is the word to have nothing to do with. That phrase, having nothing to do with, is the word refuse, but it's even beyond refuse is what it means. It means a strong refusal. Now, if there's anyone here today that understands any part of the game of football, you know that when a running back is running down the sideline, or he's running to prevent being knocked into the sidelines, and a tackler is coming after him, and if he's a smart running back looking ahead of him and around him and he sees it, he's going to use his arm and he's going to what? Stiff arm and push away the tackler. Well, listen, that's what the imagery is. Stiff arm things that are careless and they're silly and they're wrong. And the Bible here, when it talks about avoiding, means complete strong refusal. And then it says and uses the terminology to not follow things that are pointless and silly, meaning he's telling Timothy, stop being gullible and tell the people of God not to be gullible to believe every philosophy, every ideology, every tale of what people are saying, what people are writing, what people are repeating. We live in a day of that kind of frivolity of truth. Well, I want to tell you today, God has called us to a higher truth. And we need to see today that God wants us to refrain from what he calls in the scripture profane and worldly, chasing after things that are pointless and silly, things that are not reverent, things that are not holy. And he says these are pointless and silly what? Myths. Myths. We're familiar a little bit with the word myth. The word myth in the Greek language is the word mythos. You know what the word myth means? It means a tale. T-A-L-E. A tale, like a fairy tale. Somebody is telling you something that has some purpose, but not a lot. They're telling you maybe a little bit about truth, but they're painting it in a way you can understand it. Well, listen carefully. What we have to understand is there's a lot of noise out there in today's world. There's a lot of noise in the news. There's a lot of noise in the media. There's a lot of noise in social networking, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. And if we're not careful, we will believe things that are misleading and not totally truthful. And they are competing with God. They're competing with what God says in his word. We need to be very careful not to chase after those things. In fact, the scripture here says this is indicative. When we do, we're living undisciplined lives. We're not being all that we need to be. And we need to protect ourselves. And we don't need to even come close to the line of doing it. Because if we come close to the line of doing it, sooner or later we will cross over the line. So the call here is to avoid living carelessly toward anything that is silly and senseless and falling into things that are not truthful. So while we are running down the Christian life and we're stiff-arming those things, he says if we're going to be a good servant, we stiff-arm that, we turn, we pivot, and we go the other way. And the other way is what? It's the second action. And that is pursue living intentionally and growing in godliness. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to take a second action, to pursue living intentionally and growing in godliness. Now, in the same vein of verse 7, he turns the discussion. And he says, rather than avoid, I have something rather I want you to do. And he says, there is a better way. And the better way I'm pointing out to you today from the scripture. Now, let me just say this about God. God's way is always a better way. You believe that today? God always has a better way for you. I mean, you're going to be promised a lot of things in walking in this world. And some of them might be so, most of them won't be. But God always has a better way. And that's what I want to talk about today. And the better way, God says, is to train yourself in godliness. In verse 7, Train yourself in godliness. This is not talking about some kind of self-centered way whereby you create some legalistic thing that you do constantly, and this is what you do. No, it's not about legalism, but the word train there, if you go into the original language, listen carefully. I won't say the Greek word because it won't matter to you, but we get our word from that word, gymnasium. Y'all know what a gymnasium is? Many of you go after your kids in gymnasiums. You deliver them to gymnasiums. Or you go and you see people conduct athletic activity in gymnasiums. Or even maybe you yourself do that. Well, listen, gymnasiums are exhibitions of athleticism. It doesn't matter how lame they are or how great they are. It doesn't matter. You go to a gymnasium usually for the purpose of doing that. Well, it's a call to live out our faith with the same intentionality of denying ourselves and exerting physical energy, exerting ourselves to develop not only our physical lives, but our spiritual lives. Toward what? Toward godliness. You know what godliness is? Having the right attitude and doing what God wants us to do in our life. It's living out the Word of God. It's being what God wants us to be. And just like an athlete trains with discipline to face competition around him, we're called to live out the Christian life with that same kind of rigor, with that same kind of intentionality, pursuing God with all we are. Verse 8 mentions bodily exercise. He says that while bodily exercise profits a little, godliness is profitable unto all things, not only in this world, but in the world to come. So he wants us to train in godliness, and he continues in the imagery of us training our bodies as an athlete would train their bodies. Now, sometimes what happens is we take that one verse, and that's why we say this. Well, since bodily exercise profits little, I've decided I'm never going to exercise in my life. That's not necessarily what God is saying. God is not discrediting or preaching against exercise, taking care of your body, but what God is doing is saying, listen, that has some profit, but godliness profits you in a much greater way in being trained in godliness. It helps you here and for the life to come. That's why I told you earlier last week, I cannot determine how long I live, but I can determine how well I live. Paul was so convinced of what he was saying to Timothy that he told Timothy, what I'm saying to you is a trustworthy word. It's a word that the church should accept and receive. Meaning what? The word is what? Is that we got to get after it. In our spiritual life, we have to become intentional. We gotta work at our spiritual life just like an athlete works and trains himself. In fact, the scripture is so clear in verse 10 that it uses two words. Labor, that means to work hard. To exert energy, to exert mental energy, and then agonize. Agonize. You know what the word agonize is? The word agonize is, again, coming back on the athletic imagery. Have you ever been to a track meet? Have you ever watched anything on television between two runners who are running or several in a heat and they're running? All of a sudden, they're close, and all of a sudden, the runner ahead does what? He strains, and he does his all, and he's giving his all, or she is giving her all, exerting everything she has, and she is like pouring it all out. Paul said that's what we need to do in the way we walk with Christ. We need to pour ourselves out so intensely and so intentionally that we're making a difference. And we're putting our hope in the living God while we're doing it. Because we know He's the hope of the world. There's a big idea here biblically. I want to lift it up. And the big idea biblically is this. Vigorously practice responding to God personally and passionately. Are you vigorous in your Christian life? Are you living out the Christian life vigorously? Vigorously, with all you got. great intentionality. And you're doing it by responding to God personally and passionately. Personally and passionately. How you doing? What's going on out there in your life? How are you doing spiritually? When you look at the gauge, here you are. How intentional are you and how careless are you? Where are you? Are you really, really pouring yourself out in developing who you are in your faith? You can tell that by how much you avoid careless and silly myths and by how much you are chasing after being trained in godliness and becoming more intentional in your faith. There are two statements I want to give you today. I'm going to say the statements. I'm going to stay briefly, but then I want us to park in the final few minutes with a few actions for all of us. Statement number one, I said last week, and I will say it again and again and again. As your spiritual life goes, so goes the rest of your life. It's not your cure-all. You still have to take actions. But I can tell you one thing. If you're not developing your spiritual life and you're not intensifying your spiritual life and you're not growing in your spiritual life, then it's going to affect your life, but it's not going to be in a positive way. It's going to skew the way you look at life. It's going to skew the way you look at people. It's going to skew the way you see everything and every decision you make in your life. So as your spiritual life goes, so goes the rest of your life. And action number two is this action, a statement. Number two is your spiritual life will never outpace your intentional commitment to prioritize it in your daily life. Now, I want to tell you, that statement, don't be dominated by the words, so many words, but I'm telling you what that statement is, a powerful statement. And there's incredible truth to that statement. But your spiritual life will never outpace your intentional commitment to prioritizing your spiritual life every day. Well, we see people all around us that, man, we say something like this, I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be like her. Well, I wish I could preach like Billy Graham. I wish I had his heart for evangelism, touching the world. Or I wish I could be like that Christian business leader out here who is such an example, like the Kathy family is at Chick-fil-A. I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be that. Or we look at some lady out here who is wonderful in church history or in the mission movement or someone today who is great for God and you know who she is and she may be a lady is in the church that nobody knows but you, but I mean, boy, she has got a ferocious faith for God. Well, let me tell you something. If those people are what you think they are, and we pray they are, they took actions in doing that. But it all began with their spiritual life. You can't hope you become something. You have to start where you are and determine, hey, I have to become intentionally committed to prioritizing my spiritual life every day. And that's what these last five actions are about. And that's what I want to give you today. Five actions in your life before we go home. How do you make 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 10 walk in your life every day? How do I live it out? There are intentional, specific actions that help me propel my life toward godliness. Now, I really believe today that it doesn't matter whether you are here maybe for the first time, or maybe you've been coming in and out, maybe you're an attender or a member. If you've met Christ in your life, somewhere along the way, you've decided, I really want to be a good servant of Christ. Now, obviously, we're all at different levels there. But even you being here today at least gives a small indicator that you want to be that. But I want to really pour into that today and really challenge you before we leave today about what that means. You see, if you want to be fit physically, you got to take some actions about it. You can't just sit in your office and have your quiet time and, oh God, I need to lose 20 or 30 pounds. Holy God, if you part of the Red Seas, come and take this off of me. I mean, you know, we got all kind of crazy thinking out there today. But sooner or later, what do you have to do? You have to take action. That's the same way with your Christian life. Nothing happens without action. And that's what this is about. Action number one. I'm going to resolve. You know what I'm going to resolve? I will develop my spiritual life daily. I will develop my spiritual life daily. Do not underestimate that statement, because it will not begin without that statement. That means I am going to make a decision today that I'm going to develop my spiritual life. And listen, you can't delegate someone else developing your spiritual life. I don't care how many sermons you listen to, how many Bible studies you go to, sooner or later it's on you. It's on you. And the life you live and the actions you take will determine the outcomes you see in your daily life. And every decision that you make throughout the day will be impacted by that decision of I'm going to develop my spiritual life every day. You know, I really, doesn't matter to me how early you get up in the morning, whether you rise at 3 or 5 or 7 or 9 or noon. Whenever you get up, you just determine then, I will develop my spiritual life today. That takes resolve, commitment, discipline. And when you do that, we enter into this. We surrender. That's the second action. We surrender. When we surrender, we're saying, I will release my life to God daily. I will release my life to God daily. I think the greatest picture of surrender is when a child comes to their parent or their grandparents and they reach their arms up to them, because what they're saying, even if they cannot say it with their words, take me, hold me, I need you. That's what God sees when we surrender. We are surrendering our lives to Him. Gina and I have 7 grandchildren. Out of the 7, there's only 3, maybe, that at the present time, if they jump off somewhere, I'll catch them. That doesn't mean I'll let any of the 7 drop, but they might really throw me down and away if I catch the other 4. But guess what? There's one who still does that. And boy, who can refuse a child surrendering to you? God won't refuse you if you will surrender. And Lord, I'm going to release my life to you every day. Just surrender. That's where it all starts. This is an intentional action you can take. Doesn't matter what your age or stage is in life, how old you are, what your vocation is, how much money you make or you don't make. It starts with surrender. I will surrender my life to God every day. Action number 3, I will read the Bible daily. I will read the Bible daily. You say, oh, I know that. Are you doing it? How are you doing it? Are you intentional in doing it? How important is it in your life to do? Well, I try to get it in, you know, Saturday before I come to church on Sunday. Well, at least you're getting it in a little bit. But I want to urge you, read your Bible every day. I personally believe that it's impossible to be all God wants you to be if you're not constantly reading the Scripture. Where are you going to go? You're going to believe things you don't need to believe. You're going to be chasing after things you don't need to be chasing after. And what did he say you're nourished by? You're not nourished by the words of others. He says you're nourished by the word of God. You're set apart by the word of God and through the means of prayer. Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 25, I love. It says this, give me life through your word. You want to know where life is? You get in this book. This book will help you live. This book will help you live a greater life. And read it systematically. Read it daily. Read it consistently. Develop a way you read it. In about 3 or 4 weeks from now, I will have finished reading through the Bible 28 years in a row. I believe in reading the Bible. And when I finish, that doesn't mean I don't read it anymore this year. Like I check a list, well, I read my Bible this year. But I immediately begin back. In some section of the Bible, something God said to me along the way in that journey that I want to go back on, or something really captured me, like the New Testament or some epistle or whatever it may be out here, and I roll through it. Read the Bible every day, folks. I wish, I don't know how to say it other than this. I wish I could take you and make you look me in the face. It'd be like, you remember when some of you have had kids in your life? It's when you say, you better look at me. And you grab their face. And don't forget what I'm about to tell you. That's what I wish I could do with you. But I can't do that with you because you're adults and you'd beat me up. But I'm going to act like I can. And here's what I would tell you. Nothing has shaped my life more than reading through God's Word daily and annually. Nothing. Nothing. I mean, man, it shapes the way you live. It shapes the way you see. It shapes what you listen to through the day, and you begin to measure it according to the Word of God rather than your own little frivolous emotion out here because you're passionate about it. Just because you're passionate about something doesn't mean it's right. I've been passionate about a lot of things that aren't right. But it's God's Word that calls us back into line. It's a disciplined life, an intentional life. And when we get in the Word, let me tell you what we'll do in a fourth way. I will talk to God daily. Well, when I read the Word of God, I'm telling you, it inspires me to talk to God. And guess what? It impacts what I say to God. It changes what I say to God all the way. And God uses it in my life. And you know, just develop a way you talk to God every day. Stop making prayer this impossible thing I can't do. It's a conversation with God. If you've got the gift of gab here, guess what? Get ready, God. Talk to God about it. Go to God about it. Don't be afraid to talk to Him. Well, one of these days, I wish I had the time. I just need to take it one of these days. On a Sunday morning, not because I'm a model. I'm not a model of anything. But I just would like to go through with you and just show you some things in my prayer list, things that I keep in my life and keep before me and how I do that. Not because I'm a model, but, boy, people are always looking for ways and things to develop. And the more intense you are and intense you are about your faith, you're in a learning mode to learn, learn, learn. I'm constantly learning from others. I will read things that you know, I still read some things of the past, some things of the present, and things about the future. And I'm driven because I want to do that. And guess what? Today, it's nothing more than an old-fashioned prayer list. That's what it is. I keep it on my iPad, And on that iPad, it changes every day or many days during the week. Because things go, things come, things are same in your life. Things need to be prayed about every day. But I always want to challenge you, just develop a way. Don't make it hard. Stop making prayer like some mountain I cannot climb. God wants you to talk to Him. Don't be like a teenager who won't talk to their daddy or their mama. Grow up. Develop your spiritual life. Talk to God every day. Read the Bible every day. And then finally today, take the action this. I will take all the necessary actions to be fit spiritually. I'm going to take all the necessary actions I need to take to be fit spiritually. You know, this afternoon, it's a beautiful day here, especially in this area. You can drive around. You can see people running, and they'll be walking. They'll be biking. They'll be out playing with their children. You're going to ball fields today, and there'll be people out there. They're exerting energy, exerting all they have for whatever, and that's good. But listen carefully. We need to exert ourselves for God also. With a greater intensity and with a greater intentionality. Stop underestimating the power of that. And you know, you can't underestimate what Paul closed out this simple section for in 1 Timothy 4. He said the reason we chase after the Lord and the reason we are so intent on our actions is because Jesus is the only Savior of the world. He is the only hope of the world. And we live by grace alone. But we got to go after it. And so I want to challenge you today. Many of you have never met Christ. Many of you have never met Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Come to Jesus today. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to come and give your life to Christ. I mean, let Him forgive you. Let Him change your life. But I want to say to all the rest of us here today, just like your faith starts by you making an initiative and you taking initiative and you taking action, that's the way your faith has to be lived out every day in your life. And you know, when you put it in today's vernacular, where maybe we'll get it even more, how much are you getting after it in your spiritual life? I mean, it's important to you. You're going after it. You're running after it. And you're intentional. I mean, hey, if Jesus is worth you giving your life initially to, is He not worth you giving your life always? That takes action. That takes a heart. That takes intentionality. That takes rigor. That takes discipline. And you know what? Everybody wants a shortcut. There are no shortcuts. They don't exist. Stop looking for another way. We have to exercise ourselves toward godliness. Train ourselves toward godliness. Get ourselves getting after it to be all God wants us to be. You know why it's worth it? He's our hope. He's the Savior of all people, all to those especially who believe.